Welcome back. I'm glad to be with you. Glad to be anywhere. I'm glad to be. This is the world's last podcast. Well, for regular listeners, the situation with my neighbor has gotten a little better and a little worse. If you heard the previous episode, you know that he left me a message. I still have no idea what was in it. I've listened and listened again, trying to recognize Latin roots, but I just don't. Hopefully, if anyone listening speaks Spanish, they'll get back to me with a translation. Anyway, the main problem wasn't the message. It was the message of leaving the message. He was in my house, without permission. That says something, well, vague, but also menacing. This week he left something else. I think it was a peace offering, not that we were at war. It was food. That's a universal sign of peace, isn't it? Or an attempt at poisoning. I was excited. It was a can. At first I thought, oh, more beans. But it wasn't beans. It was lentils. I don't know if you've ever had them, but lentils are slightly different from beans, if I'm remembering them correctly. I think they were somewhere between a bean and a pea, if you've ever had peas. I can't remember exactly the taste or the texture, and I have no intention of eating these. I thanked him, I think. We kind of hung out to the extent that that was possible. He was talking and talking. He was pointing at things. I kept shrugging in an I don't know kind of way. And then suddenly I would start talking as if he could understand. And that reminded me of when I had a dog. This was after I lost George. I found this dog. He seemed normal, but who knows how things have been affected. I used to talk to the dog. Before, that had always seemed crazy to me, talking to a dog. But I was very lonely at that point. Then the crazy thing is, I started expecting the dog to talk back. He looked at me with a real intelligence sometimes. Then I started to get angry that he wasn't talking back. That's when I had to let him go. Talking to this neighbor is kind of like that. He's a human being. He should be able to understand and speak sense, but he just can't. It's very frustrating. I don't think he's an enemy, but this friendship is going to kill me. I've moved from real to metaphorical danger, but I don't feel any less anxious. Okay, let's try something normal. I will answer one of your questions. Let's see. This one comes from Caroline. She writes, I'm not sure I've heard every episode. I don't know how much you talked about the before times before. But when you did talk about them before, you never mentioned your family. What were they like, if it's not too traumatic? Did you have kids? Did you have brothers and sisters? Well, Caroline, I guess it's not too traumatic. I never ask questions like these because, God, I try to keep things light as far as possible. And usually, people who had families are still with their families, if they survived. Of course, most of the time. Well, my family. I had a brother. He lived in a place called Alexandria. That was in Virginia. We didn't see each other very much. Came here some years for the winter holiday. But after we lost our parents, he didn't. We weren't that close. But just before the calamities, he called me by accident. That was possible. Sometimes when you put your phone in your pocket, you might touch something and accidentally dial a number. He heard me talking from his pocket, and he took the phone. He apologized for calling me. I said it was no problem. Then he said the last words he ever spoke to me. He said, "I guess smartphones are just too smart for me." I wish he had said anything else. I mean, "I love you" would have been kind of out of character, but it would have been nice if he'd said that or anything memorable or even funny. Then again, I think he thought what he said was funny. He never laughed, as a rule, but he did get a certain tone when he thought he was making a joke. He had it then. Like, "I guess smartphones are just too smart for me." That was my brother. It's possible I haven't lost him. If he's alive, our relationship is basically the same. If he's dead and in some other place, I mean, I've said I don't know what happens when you die. But that brings me to your other question about children. I never had any. I didn't really have the desire. I had friends who did. I've talked about Facebook, which is how we kept in touch with one another. I said it was mostly pictures of food, but it was also pictures of babies. Food and babies. Babies and food. Never pictures of baby food, though. I'm actually kind of surprised now that I think about that. No one ever made homemade baby food, took a picture of it, and said, "I made this baby and this baby food." I could see a lot of advantages to having kids. For one thing, it seemed to make limitless greed okay. You could always say, "I'm doing this for my kids." I had a friend who bought something called a Hummer, which was a giant car that burned a lot of gas. He said something like, "I want to show my son that you can get anything you want if you work hard enough for it." I don't know if that's true, but it didn't matter. His son was 3. I don't think he understood what work was. The kids were an all-purpose morality. Like, for instance, if you wanted to get ahead at work and you hid an important document and blamed it on someone else in order to get a promotion, you could say you were doing it for your kids. They were expensive back then, and they weren't allowed to work either. So you could claim to need a limitless amount of money, all to take care of one or two kids. I also noticed comedians seem to benefit from having children too. They're often funny, kids, because they don't understand anything. If you didn't have kids, you'd have to talk about very, very stupid people to get the same results. That all sounds pretty heartless. I mean, there is also a chance, if you had children, that they would love you. It wasn't guaranteed. It seemed like a real gamble to me. But people also talked in an abstract way about children being a kind of immortality. That is, if you have a child, the child kind of carries on your identity after you die. That would be a terrible burden if it were true. I don't think it's even possible. Very few people were exactly like their parents. But even if your children carry on your particular quirks after you die, you won't know about it. You'll be dead. And again, I don't get the obsession with immortality, living forever. Whenever I think about forever, or infinity of any kind, I get nauseated. I think living through infinity would be even worse than thinking about it. Death is sweet. I remember reading that somewhere. I think it might have been in Letters from the Earth. That's by Mark Twain. It's a book I don't have. It wasn't a life-changing book. By the time I read it, I wasn't looking for books to change my life. I was looking for books to validate the life I'd already lived. But Letters from the Earth, something about before Christ, everyone realized that death was sweet, but he brought in the anxiety of infinite life. And of course, you know what the whisperers promise. I'll even repeat it. And listen, it's me saying this, and it's not them. We've all heard it some nights. Eternity through unity, unity through eternity. When I hear it, I remember, death is sweet. This is the world's last podcast. Speaking of the unspeakable, I saw the famously controversial new movie, Us and Them, while I was at the exchange this week. Should they have made it? I don't know. It's great that people can make a new movie at all. It did take 5 years, and I think we ought to acknowledge that when we talk about it. Is the subject appropriate? I don't think we should treat the whisperers as unspeakable. I talk about them. I say the word. I think it takes away some of the power. That's fine. The movie looked good, considering. It's not a technical masterpiece, but the art isn't going to get back to where it was anytime soon. We're not sure everybody's going to eat this year, so we shouldn't worry about making another Pearl Harbor or Avatar, the most technically advanced of the surviving films. Does the movie make any sense? No, it doesn't. Listen, I don't know where the whispers came from. I would have thought it was some new mutation. But according to this movie, it's the robots. People have blamed them before. That's actually a very old trope. Robots will rise up and destroy humanity, or take it over from within. I remember watching another movie about this called The Matrix. Now, there's no way I can prove that this happened. But that movie was about robots taking people and using them as batteries and filling their heads with a virtual world. Fine. I said that would never happen. I said, if robots become conscious, they will just leave. They won't need anything from us. Least of all power, as they could easily use solar power. I can't prove that I said that all those years ago, but that's exactly what seems to have happened. They go from Japan to the moon, but they never seem to come back. I think they're clearing out, and they aren't taking any of us with them. You can call them ungrateful or indifferent to their creators, although saying that, you should keep in mind that only a tiny percentage of us were involved in creating them. They wouldn't owe the vast majority of us anything, any more than we owe raccoons anything, because some other mammal evolved into us. Anyway, you can call them ungrateful. You can call them anything you want. They won't respond. It seems unlikely that as they're leaving the Earth, they would create an infectious hive mind to take over the world. It serves no purpose at all. I think the Whisperers are something we just don't have the technology to understand anymore. But this movie, Us and Them, takes the robot hypothesis as a fact. And I think that's the source of the narrative problems. There's just no reason for the robots to do what they do in this movie. The love story isn't that convincing either. The heroine falls in love with one Whisperer because he's slightly different from the rest. Now that is misleading. We know that they are all literally one mind, and the individual members never break away. Can't divide a mind unless the idea is it has multiple personality disorder. But I don't think there's any reason to believe that. This is a very dangerous version of the love conquers all story. That's assuming people see this movie and think they should get involved romantically with a Whisperer in order to save them. I don't think that will happen, though. I don't think the movie is one of their plots, either. They don't need movies to persuade us. They can reach into our thoughts. Movies just reach into our eyes. In fact, my mind wandered through most of the film. By the time she started talking to her telepathic fetus, I was totally lost. I did get the feeling that it was setting us up for a sequel, though. So, Us and Them. It proves that people can still make a movie, but not much more than that. Well, the authority didn't ask me to make any new announcements this week. They did want me to make sure that I mentioned the movie, Us and Them. It is not restricted in our area. In fact, the authority wants you to know that they believe in free expression, and we are secure enough to express ourselves however we wish. I'm reading this. Whether that expression is a recorded audio show or a controversial new film such as Us and Them. This is me now. The movie's fine. I've seen worse movies. Go see this one if there's literally nothing else to do. Oh, well, that will have to do it for this week. My neighbor is waving at me. I'm going to have to get curtains. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and sane.